death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds.
This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news on WGRN 94.1. Hello, I'm Bob Fitrakis, and this is the other side of the news. Today, I'm joined by the Reverend Gary Whitty. I've known Gary for 30 years and had a few experiences with him, including evicting the governor, the then governor, Governor Voinovich, who was cutting general assistance. Gary has protested at the governor's mansion on the death penalty and went to try and get a man out of prison who we thought was innocent. So Gary's been around and Gary's been arrested. What can you tell our listeners about some of these arrests?
Well, it's the old-fashioned civil disobedience, Bob. You're familiar with that. You have a cause and you're willing to peacefully try to change it by getting in the way of law enforcement or breaking the rules. You know, it's the good old-fashioned getting in the way of and putting a cog in the machinery. You're familiar with that.
And again, thinking back, when people ask you about these events, do you regret any of them, or should some of them have been more militant?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, you're doing this with a group of people, with other people, and you make a decision beforehand what the objective is and what you want to get out of it and what your procedure is. One of the things that you end up getting charged with something like disorderly conduct, and when you look at it, there's nothing disorderly about it. It's planned out. It's a commitment to nonviolence, and you have to have a willingness to take the punishment as it comes. You do it, of course, to make the public aware of a problem and to shake up and get in the way of the system trying to do what it's doing to people, whether that's the death penalty or homelessness issues or what.
Well, this year you were arrested again for setting up a tent on Columbus City Council President Shannon Hardin's front lawn. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, it's earlier in the year, the city had taken action against the homeless camps around town. They kept sweeping the one over on Olentangy River Road that they eliminated, and one at Hare Park, that's H-E-R-R, down on South High Street near Williams Road. They brought in several bulldozers and I think 16 cop cars to sweep out the people because they said the merchants at the Southland shopping area didn't want them around or that they were taking shoplifting items and stuff like that. All this to get people to stop living in the fence lines and open fields down by the Scioto River. When that happened, one of the officials, who incidentally works for community development, said that, well, what's the problem here? You wouldn't want these people living in your backyard, would you? And I got to thinking about that, and I suggested to the group who was camping, called Camp Shameless, on the Near East Side on East Mound Street. They had they were given a warning by the city that they needed to be out by September the 1st, so we planned an action that would take it to the lawns and the front yards of city council people. Joe Motilla and myself, we went to President Harding's lawn. There were a couple of people that went to Shayla Favor, who was another city council's lawn, and they also went to Zach Klein's house. I think, is that his first name? Klein, who's the city attorney. And those three activities all at the same time, planning, of course, that we would be arrested and to raise the issue. And eventually we got to do that simply by, before they sentence you, they give you an opportunity to speak to the court as to why you're doing it. And I think that our folks did real well in presenting the case. Still, we were found guilty, and I wasn't given a fine, but I was given, we were given community service, which we had already completed, because that's the kind of people we are. We do community service. And some of them got $50 fines and some got $25 fines. But, and it all seems rather insignificant, except for the fact that you spend 9 hours in jail at the county jail. Stinking rotten place to be. But, it, you know, it's worth the effort to bring up the issue and say to the city, you have to stop treating people like this. You have to stop criminalizing poverty is basically what they're doing. And to remove and bulldoze people's only domicile, a tent, is pretty small-minded and mean-spirited. And that's why we did it.
This is Bob Petrakis with The Other Side of the News. You're listening to WGRN 94.1. The Green Renaissance. I'm speaking with Gary Withy here, longtime political activist. And again, just recently involved in civil disobedience, which he's been explaining to our listeners, that it's deliberate. It's not out of chaos. Did Shannon say anything?
He said, get the hell off my lawn. And then he also said, yeah, I'm calling the cops, which was the threat. And that's basically what we wanted to, him to say anyhow, except he could have been a little more hospitable. To her favor, Councilwoman Shayla Favor sat down in a chair and talked to the people listened to their concerns. But Mr. Hardin has a kind of a warped sense of hospitality and wanted us to get off his lawn because his neighbors were watching and we were causing a disturbance. He also said, when we invited him to come speak with us, come on over here, Mr. Hardin, speak with us. He said, that's not the way we do business. Of course, under my breath, I guess I said it loudly. I said, what, do you have to check with Les Wexner first or the Columbus Partnership or whatever? His way of doing business is, you know, my favorite term is cabal. It's in secret. Everything within the city, as you know, is done secretly and then presented as a, they have a way of usurping other people's ideas and shaping it so that it's to their advantage. So when he said, this is not the way we do business, we're there because of the way he does business. And eliminating people's housing and not, the other issue is not funding low-income housing in the city is what brought us there in the first place.
And originally, what brought you there was the homeless camps. So what happened with these camps? Are they ongoing elsewhere?
Yeah, it's one of the few times, Bob, with it, that the demonstration, the civil disobedience, actually created a win for us. Of course, the battle is still waging, but it was a win for us that day. 2 days later, city officials sat down with the people at Camp Shameless and presented them a proposal that They have found a motel over near Whitehall on the east side, and that the 15, 14 people that were still living at Camp Shameless were given an opportunity to live there with a commitment of 13 months and to have wraparound services for social services, that they would send meals up there and that they would send social workers up there to work on their particular problems and to try to get them into some transitional housing. So they didn't like the idea that what we did, but it was effective that they didn't want to be embarrassed anymore. That's the way I read it anyhow. They didn't want to be embarrassed by any more further actions. Because quite frankly, if they would have lined up the bulldozers, we had people ready to stand in the way, including clergy. We had about at least a dozen clergy willing to show up on the 1st of September to stand in the way. Luckily, on 1st of September, they didn't show up. The agreement was made the day before, and we made the 1st of December a celebration of sorts. We made community resources. We had people show up with booths about organizations that help those in poverty and those who are homeless. And it was a great celebration for 3 hours that day instead of seeing bulldozers ruin their camp.
So you would call this a victory for the activists?
Yeah. Not every time. I know I've been arrested four other times on, no, the first one was the homeless. I was arrested in John Kasich's office in Congress when we were asking for more federal money to be spent on the issue of housing and homelessness. And of course, Kasich wouldn't even speak to us, so we refused to leave his office. That was the first time we spent the night in a DC jail. But the judge the next morning he complimented us on our actions and told us to get out of here. So we left without a fine, time served, and the judge saluting us for the efforts that we did. But the other times were, you know, going over the fence at the governor's mansion and doing that twice to protest the upcoming executions. One was a very mentally disturbed man, Wilfred Berry, who wanted to be killed, which shows his mental health problems. And the other one was John Byrd, who was a claim of innocence, and we really don't think he did it. He said he was passed out in the van when the clerk was killed. None of those were effective in changing the government's mind. People went ahead with their execution, unfortunately. And that was the time when, Bob, you and I and, I'm sorry, what's...
Cliff Arnebeck.
Yeah, Cliff Arnebeck. We went up to Mansfield because that's where they had death row then, to see John Byrd, to talk with him, and they wouldn't let us see him.
I remember they called the guards out for us. So.
Yeah, they thought we were trouble, but we were just trying to get in to see our client and... I wanted to say a prayer with John Byrd, you know, all those things. It's just, it says that the death penalty, which is now kind of in a moratorium in the state of Ohio, needs to be eliminated. I mean, they haven't executed a person now in darn near 3 years. And the governor keeps saying it's the lack of drug supplies. But he also says, quite frankly, he doesn't want to kill anybody and that the legislature should eliminate the death penalty. That's his position. You have to give him credit if he's, you know, he is rather repressive, but he's because he's a pro-life Catholic, his Catholic friends have convinced him that pro-life also means being against the death penalty. So he's pushed it. He's punted and said the legislature should take care of that. And we hope that this lame duck session, when there are a couple of bills, one in the House and one in the Senate, to eliminate the death penalty here in Ohio, that'll be a great day if that does happen. I don't know what the chances are, but we're hearing that the bills will be brought up for a vote. So that's a good step.
All right. You've been involved in other activism over the years too. The community kitchen and food. How do these issues play off each other? The terms of feeding the poor versus housing the poor, and who's really active at this time? How can people get involved?
Well, there are a number of groups that are working with the homeless and are trying to help them. One is still down at Hare Park. Now it's near Hare Park because they merely moved the camp like 1,000 feet to the south. And of course, the city isn't going to bother them anymore. So they're still down there. And there's a group of people who go down there weekly and give them a hot meal and try to help out as much as possible. There's also a whole couple of tables, 3 or 4 tables of resources that people can grab, from clothes to blankets to, packaged meals and all that kind of stuff that helps people who are at the bottom rung of society and really need our help. So there's people like Food Not Bombs who bring in food and work on food and help to deliver it to people in need. And there are several others. I'm sorry, I can't think of the organizations right now. There are a lot of good organizations.
What about the approach of homeless shelters? How should we look at those?
Well, it's not a solution. You know, living in a shelter, some of the people that are out there living in a tent would prefer to live in a tent than live in a shelter, because it's not a good place. It's overcrowded. They're overcrowded. They're not well managed, according to the people that I've talked to have experienced it firsthand. And it's, you know, you're living with, 80, 90 other people in the same situation. It's got to be really tense. So, we know that shelters are not the solution. The solution to the problem citywide is to make affordable housing in our community. The interesting thing about Mr. Harding's city council is that they even, the feds gave them $140 million from the pandemic. What was that called? It's some fund that the Biden administration put together for these kind of emergency things. And the city hasn't utilized it. And there are no plans for any type of housing that seem to be going on for really low income housing, and not just, the average income that, moderately income people could maybe afford it, but not low income people. And I think you have to have like $40,000 a year or under to qualify. You look at Section 8 housing, people can get that, but they have to wait almost years, at least a year, if not years, to utilize Section 8 housing, because there's very little Section 8 housing in Columbus. The real issue is get off your butt, stop letting other people do your job for you, like churches and warming centers, and feeding congregate places and get some real solutions going, which also includes tiny homes. Nobody's talking about tiny homes. You could put a tiny home together for about, well, less than $10,000 per unit, and people could live there safely. It's a matter of, you know, hooking in sewer and electrical lines and letting people have their own little tiny, 400 square foot of home that they can sleep and cook in. And that could be a solution. The other is you got families out there that are looking for places. They can't find places. Lord Almighty, build something for people. And stop trying to, what you see happening downtown is kind of cleaning the streets of homeless people and driving them to suburbs, basically. And that's how the city wants to deal with homelessness, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And if they're not around downtown, that's good for them. As they continue to pump all kinds of millions of dollars back to developers and corporations who like their tax abatements. I've read something like over $200 million this year given away of our money that ends up coming back to the taxpayers because they don't have the cities keep saying they don't have enough money to do this or do that, especially when it comes to social services, but they got all kinds of money to hand out to the corporations. You know how that is, Bob. Yep.
Yeah, the question of the developers and the plan. Do you think, is there a plan? And if so, whose plan is it that's dictating these problems within the city?
Well, you know better than I do. It's what the Columbus Way or the Columbus Partnership or whatever you want to call it. It's the titans of the city that get together and decide for us in secret without, and sit down with the hand-picked city council people who agree to it. When was the last time a city council person voted against tax abatements? It not only hurts us, it hurts our kids. It takes money out of our public schools. And our public schools really need that money. Not every school has air conditioning. Why not? You can get 90 degree days in September, and kids can't study in that kind of environment. We need to concentrate on really improving our city, our public schools, especially Columbus Public Schools. It's a need of improving, and then the city takes away the money. You don't need this $140 million. You don't need this. Our developers need it. You know, the developers get catered to while they turn their back on the rich and on the poor and people caught in poverty.
Yeah, one of the questions in my mind is, having dealt with the police myself, but mainly being maced repeatedly in my life.
Yeah, that issue too. Yeah.
The question is, what does the jail system look like down there? I mean, you weren't in that long.
It's dirty and it stinks. And if you're going to get arrested, you should realize they strip you down to your underwear and then throw you these ugly clothes for you to wear. Then they put you in a room where there's only like 10 bunks, so everybody else is sitting on the floor, and the walls, you know, have sputum and dirt all over them and graffiti, and it's not a friendly, it's not a place to be. And the food, don't get me started about the food. Breakfast was atrocious. I handed mine off to somebody else. But, you know, we also knew that we were getting sprung in a few hours, so you could tolerate that. So, you know, it's not a place you want to be, that's for sure.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your activism. Any last thoughts to the listeners out there? What would you tell them? I mean, your life has been dedicated to activism.
As people who are working for a better society and working for social services and helping people in poverty, you should remember that one of the tools in your toolbox can be civil disobedience. You've got to realize that there is a punishment that you're going to suffer in some ways, but the issue gets highlighted. Because of our action in August at the homes of city council members, that brought about a shift. And in spite of the fact that they didn't drop the charges against us because they said they wanted to give us a lesson to learn, you know, I think they're the ones that learned the lesson that I'm not sure that there will be any more bulldozer sweeps in this city. Maybe there will be, but there will be action against that as soon as we hear that there's an eviction notice. Groups of us are going to get together and show up and try to stop it. But again, shelters and tents are not the solution. The solution is low-income housing. We need it desperately in this city. All you got to do is look at the street corners. There's beggars on every major intersections. There's people, you know, waiting to get on Section 8 housing. There's people who refuse to go to shelters. The only solution right now is the city is trying to coordinate warming centers during the evening so people don't freeze to death. Now, that's very nice of them. I wonder if the wealthy developers get a situation like that. You know, they bend over backwards to accommodate the rich, and they don't care about the poor.
Good. Thank you. We're out of time, but we appreciate your thoughts. Keep up the good work.
Sure. Thanks, Bob. You too.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.